that's it about my vacation that I want? I want a vacation.
Yeah. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Right now, we're excited to get our guy, Mr. Lou Holder, joining the
program. Hold him, Lou.
From the Holder Hangout. People might not realize how long we've all worked together. Hell, you and B. Mitch have probably known each other.
We worked in Philly together.
Yes. Really?
Yeah. I met Lou in Philly.
That's where I started my career in Philadelphia.
I'm surprised you didn't work with him here at Channel 5.
No, that was...
It was Philly then when he came back here.
When I came back, yeah. My first year here was Steve Spurrier's first year.
Ooh.
Patrick Ramsey had the nerve to hold out. You had Osaka, and that was Daryl Green's last year. That was my first year, 2002. That was the year of the sniper attacks.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was in college,
yeah.
Man.
But
I
started my broadcasting career. I went to grad school and at Temple in Philly, and that's when I met B. Mitch when I was at Temple. Kevin Negandhi and I started our careers together in Philly, and that's where I knew B. Mitch first time. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
I'm a fanboy with B. Mitch because I love the way he played, but now as a colleague, man, it's even better. He's still whooping my behind in golf, but that's another
issue.
Well,
you know, something's supposed to happen, and he's going to stay that way. Hey, did you, Jeff, hear what he said? I'm still whipping him.
Yeah.
That's how I'm going to be with you when you're 70.
Everybody actually understands the difference between you and Jeff in golf. Lou and I worked together when I was early on in my career working those graveyard shifts at Comcast. Man. We had fun, man. Me, you, and Armand, like,
oh,
just listening to old beats. Lou start dancing and stuff.
Yep.
Obviously, you've been here every day. You've been talking to players every day. What has kind of stood out to you most?
So I think I'm going to go macro for you first, JP, and just talk about the culture of what's going on overall. It's just been night and day. A couple of years ago, no one would be out here with confidence. We would be wondering who the quarterback is. We would be wondering if what the coach is saying, is it really true? We'd be wondering if people are infighting. It would be so many things that the media would be looking for and trying to get understanding for. Now there's not that. I keep saying it is so good, and I got to get used to JP and B. Mitch. I got to get used to covering football and not foolishness. It is so good.
That's a good way of putting it, dog.
It's so good to come in there, and if Terry McLaurin and that thing is the only thing that we're actually covering that's, you know, semi not football related because it's a contract and stuff like that, sign me up for that every single day, because there were times when the FBI would be raiding the building and the owner, you didn't know what he was doing. None of that. It's just straight football, and it's just so – I still got to get used to it. So it's fun out here because this is what we want to do, cover football. And that's the big picture for me, JP, is that how this is coming together from the top down. That is really, really refreshing. As far as individuals, I'm really excited about Jordan McGee. I thought we got really – it was really unfortunate that he got hurt.
Isn't he a Temple guy?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I see you went right back to that.
I was going
to
say it, too.
He's not going to get past me, Lou. Yeah.
Can I guess?
Let me talk to you about my college, right. My counterpart.
So McGee, Mikey Sanders still, I just think he's grown.
He's a special kid,
He's grown in confidence. And just the relationship he has with Jaden, he's just – the game is slowing down for him. Those are two people that I'm really, really excited for. And then Brandon Coleman, these are all second-year guys. That Brandon Coleman, I just feel that he learned so much last year. And now with the Laramie Tunsil, and now he's like – he's second year, but he's teaching Josh Connerly, but still getting tutelage from Laramie Tunsil. So I just feel that those three individuals right off the bat – are people that I'm just really excited to see take it to the next level.
Well, I think when I was looking today, and me and Jeff were talking about how big offensive linemen are, and then you look at the defensive linemen. But the thing that comes with it, I think those guys also are skilled. They have the ability. They're not just big guys. You know, and I think that's going to help the team, because as much as when we come out here, everybody look at the skill positions. I still go with the transmission and the engine. That's O-line, D-line. I believe those guys are going to be what takes this team beyond.
Yeah, I mean, B. Mitch, the game of football has not changed. If you can get to the other team's quarterback and run the ball and the lines, they're always, it's always been that way. Mm-hmm. Since you, when you played, I mean, I remember 1991 and Mark Rippon only being touched like 10 times the whole year.
Yeah.
I remember
that's still
that.
A six that, isn't it? Unbelievable.
I mean, that doesn't go unnoticed for people in this area. So one thing you cannot get over on with this fan base is we know a good offensive line when we see it. We know a good GM when we see it. We know a good head coach when we see it. And it's very rare, as you know, in the league to have a new owner pick his own GM and the GM picks his own head coach and that head coach picks his own offensive coordinator and that offensive coordinator and you come up with a number two pick in the draft. All that's like a unicorn. They're all coming in together. And, man, it's fun to watch because back in the day, between Beathard and Gibbs and Jack Kent Cook, two of those individuals have gold jackets. So it worked out pretty well back then.
Hell yeah.
And when you see your past starting to come again in your future, that's why people are excited because we've seen it before.
We're talking with our friend Lou Holder here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC equipment in the DMV. You can follow Lou at Holder Sports. Check out the Holder Hangout wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. You've been interviewing a lot of these guys every day. Who's kind of stood out to you just as on the personal level?
Frankie Louvu.
Yeah, he's deep.
He's a deep thinker. I love how he reps his Samoan culture. I just love, you know, me and you, we've all talked. It's not just the X's and the O's, it's the Jimmies and the Joes, right? And I try to get to know some of these players. Frankie Louvu is one of those guys that's a go-to for me in the locker room because he'll give you stuff. He'll think. He's very methodical. And then, obviously, his counterpart. Having Bobby Wagner here, I can't stress enough how important that was as far as leadership. Him and Zach Ertz coming here. But as far as free agent signings, that's got to be up there as one of the more special ones in franchise history because of not only his play, which we are still benefiting from, but, man, when he comes into the room, instant respect.
Totally,
instant respect.
Totally.
Everybody's like, okay, you're going to Canton and you're choosing to come here to end your career and you're getting an MBA from Howard. I mean, come on. the man is just one of those people that you just talked to. And those two individuals are the two people that I go to on an everyday basis because they're thinkers. I like watching, listen to their answers to questions.
It's cool to hear you point that out because I think so many people just forget about leadership. All they think about is how fast can somebody run, how tall, how can they jump, how many balls are they going to catch. Leadership gets you to be able to do that without worrying about stuff on Sundays. And you think back to covering a lot of these teams early on in Washington. You hear about those teams. You hear about the Eagles team. Leadership takes them where they're going, you know, even more than the athleticism. I mean, you got to have that, but if you don't have a leader to get the person on the right track, you're going to have problems.
Right, and I remember Coach talking about building a culture and sustaining a culture. Building a culture is one thing with the pictures on the wall and the anybody, any place, any time type of thing, but it's those captains, those people like Bobby Wagner.
Doing tough stuff with
good
great people.
With great people.
Yeah, I like that one.
Remember last year when we got wind of all the players carrying those logs together, right?
Yeah, and I saw it in the bubble,
That was wild. Like, they are depending on one another, and that all comes from
– That was deep.
I like that. Yeah. That I'm not going to let you down. You're not going to let me down. We're going to carry this big log together, and that's what the season was last year.
And we can't carry it if we all don't work.
That part.
You think the three of us could carry one of those logs, me, you, and B, Lou?
Yeah.
I think so.
You think Jeff would help or hurt the effort?
I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth. Those logs were big.
You've been around this game a long time. I think it says a lot about the team. I think it also says a lot about Jaden. How impressed and perhaps surprised were you that they were able to keep this entire coaching staff together?
Unfinished business. I just feel that you see number five does add some spice to it. But all the stuff that we heard about Dan Quinn has been true. People want to play for him. He said when he came in, JP, that this wasn't a rebuild, it was a recalibration. And all that is true. And he has changed that culture around. I know there were people that wanted and Johnson a couple of years ago. But I don't think that we would have had that coaching staff of Lynn and all those if it was somebody else. He has brought in some respectful people, and I just feel that that's where it starts with DQ. DQ has set the tone, and I think everybody's falling in place. People want to come here to play for Dan Quinn.
He set the tone, he is not an egomaniac. You know, if you look at the way Dan handles stuff, he's checked his ego at the door, which makes everybody else do the exact same thing. He has all these former players. He has former head coaches on his staff. Other coaches are intimidated by that. They don't want the guy that they know can possibly take the job if stuff goes wrong. There's 3-4 of them on this team that could probably be that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we saw that with the last two coaches, with Ron and Jay. I mean, Jay could run the hell out of an offense, but never would hire that big-name D coordinator that could really own a room, right? I mean, he had Barry and then Minuski, and then Ron went with Scott Turner, and then even bringing in Eric Bieniemy, it was like you never had that super established OC. I mean, think about when Ron got here, Kevin O'Connell was here, and however that meeting went down, KOC ended up going to L.A. for a year and then getting the head job in Minnesota, and Scott got the job. Like, we always talk about this, B, that it's a self-preservation league.
Hell yeah.
And a big part of self-preservation is you don't want somebody around that if it goes sideways, they can promote. And Dan approaches everything with an attacking mindset. I want to win, and I'm not in need of putting myself first or my self-preservation, which is really pretty rare.
Right. I think he learned a lot from the stop in Atlanta and the stop in Seattle. I think he's learned now. He even said at his press conference, I remember it specifically, I want to do a lot more coaching this time around than being just a head coach. I want to do a lot of coaching. And you see him out there on the D-line or whatever. He's letting people do what they're supposed to do. And that's a maturity level that you have to get to. And just because you've been a head coach before doesn't mean you have that maturity level. We're seeing it with Dan Quinn. We're seeing it with Dan Quinn. And, you know, I love the culture that he's building, that he's built. And I asked him a question because there is a movie coming out today.
Oh, yeah, you told me about this.
Today. It's by a local filmmaker, Jimmy Jenkins. He did this documentary a few years back called Basketball Country in the Water about all...
Is that the one Kevin Durant produced?
Yes. Yeah. How many professionals in the NBA that have come from Prince George's County? Phenomenal documentary about all the people that have come out of this area. And so he told me he was doing this other documentary about Alabama, just Alabama football, from Bear Bryant to Nick Saban and everything in between. So I made it a point to ask first Dan about coaches, mm-hmm. about who he looks at, about that type of style. And he said that he learned from Nick Saban when he was in Miami and Mariucci and other things and then people like that. I just find it at my point in my career, B, and I'm looking at inside stuff. How do you get people to do things that they're not easily willing to do? You've had it with Joe Jackson Gibbs and Andy Reid, you know, the leader of men.
It all comes with respect.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
And so that's what I look at as how do you get people to do stuff in between the ears?
If the coach shows the player that he's genuinely concerned about his well-being and him moving forward, the player would do any damn thing that coach wants.
Yeah.
But if the player doesn't trust that the coach cares about him, I don't care who the coach is. The player's not going to follow him.
Well, dude, there was a scene last year that Kerwin shot really well. I want to say it's like week 9, week 10, and B-Rob was dealing with that leg injury. And we watched him go through this like pretty hardcore workout pregame. Now, when they're doing those workouts, it's probably 3 hours before a game.
Yeah.
So say it's a 1 o'clock kick. This is probably 10, 10:30 in the morning. And B-Rob's pushing it, man, giving it everything he's got. And then we just watched DQ come over at the end of the workout and see him shake his head, and like I'm not close enough to hear it, but I know what's happening. It's Quinn telling Robinson, "You're not playing today, dude." And
I got your back.
And he's frustrated in the moment because these guys want to go. And I asked B-Rob about that earlier this week. Whenever I spoke with him, whenever I got to sit down with him, and he's like, "Man, hell yeah, I was pissed. I want to play, but knowing a coach has your long-term future in mind and not just week to week. Because these guys, not every coach thinks like that. A lot of coaches think week to week because I got to win this week to keep my job.
Yeah. They'll push you.
And B-Rob was one of the people that I talked to about.
Sure.
B-Rob and Daron Payne, they both won multiple national championships under Nick Saban, and they were talking about how DQ reminds them a lot about the love and respect and the push and the hard, you know, thinking of the individual that Saban did at college. They're now getting it with DQ here in the professional.
Even
they said
coaches,
it about him, but they didn't say it about people before. They
even
say
those
it about
coaches,
DQ.
Even those coaches learned some stuff.
Right.
Because Bear Bryant, who all this started off with, Bear Bryant learned. Yeah. Better get you some of them when he played against USC. You know that story.
Yeah, man.
Bear with
it changed everything.
USC rolled in with them brothers. And he took an L. He said, I better get me some of them.
Yeah.
And Alabama now got a lot of them. Right. Believe me.
In the Louisiana area, be like, how prominent was that Alabama program from the surrounding states?
It was that program you wanted to dismantle because everybody cheered for LSU down there. So, and then you had those coaches, Bill Onsberger at LSU, those same type of guys who were getting those. And Bill Onsberger was bringing in the Dalton Hilliards and the Gary James of the world. You know, Tommy Hodges. They were winning, and I think it was like everybody looked at Alabama like the evil empire. You know, when you win a lot, you become evil.
Yeah.
It's like everybody look at Kansas City as the evil empire. Andy, the nicest dude you're going to meet. Pat, the nicest dude you're going to meet. But they will cut your throat on a football field. That's what Alabama was in Louisiana. And LSU had to try to come up to try to match that.
Yeah. Wow. It's just a fascinating. I love documentaries. The 30 for 30s.
Yeah, me and JP about to do one on.
Yeah.
Be Mentioneers.
Lou, last one for me.
Yeah.
You've been here. You've seen Terry running around. His agent's walking around. Peters is walking around. Where do you think that thing is, and how does it eventually get solved?
So the man is under contract. And it's not like he's a free agent and he has other teams to go against one another to drive up the price. The man is under contract. So it's going to end one of two ways. I mean, he's going to have to play this physically unable to perform in the ankle. At some point, he's going to have to play football. And I just feel that, for me, we have wanted Adam Peters a lot longer than we have wanted Terry McLaurin. We have wanted stability in the front office for the longest time. And I don't know. I think Bobby Wagner had the bite of the entire camp so far. He said to us in the media, I'll never forget it. He said, sometimes the business of football is minding your own darn business.
That's it. That's
and
line.
So I am standing and watching two sides do whatever they need to do. Now, Doc said this kind of tongue-in-cheek. He goes, you never telegraph your punches. So I don't know. I don't know if I would have made the moves that Terry made. And I don't know if I would have made some of the moves that Adam made. But I'm minding my own business. I report what I see. But it's going to work out because the man is under contract.
Yeah, I believe that.
You mean as far as, like, he's not going to miss games?
No, because don't you need a certain amount of games to accrue to whatever?
I mean, also don't think Terry's a dude to take a holdout,
the season.
I think you
would want it to be a little bit cleaner than what it is now, but this is the business of football.
What's that word? Money talk and what walks? Mm. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. Luke. Thank you for your time, man.
Appreciate you, Lou.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you guys.
That's the one and only sweet Lou Holder. Give him a follow at Holder Sports. When we return, there's football on television tonight. And
really?
Some dope news for our guy Jeff Walker. Nobody go anywhere. Ooh, 6-7, the Fan.
My darling. Can you picture?
I'll let you sing, B.
Go ahead, Doc.
We got football on television tonight. Hall of Fame game, first preseason game of the year, kind of kicks off the weekend in Canton. Guys going in the Hall of Fame. We are 3 years away from that being Brian Mitchell. But before I get into just kind of talking about the Hall of Fame game tonight, there is some interesting stuff to watch this evening. I wanted to give my guy Jeff a little shine. A lot of fans have talked a lot. Jeff does a great job in season making his weekly hype songs for every game. And Jeff, help me understand. You finally got them all out online.
Yes, we have them out. We are missing some due to copyright issues.
That's what, from the track?
Yeah, we had some things on there. But it's fine. This season will be better. But we had a great year last year on the field and with the music. We completely elevated the sound. And now it's available. I know a lot of people were DMing me, especially Commandante Tequila. I mean, he was like, yo, when are the songs come out? But I appreciate that because that shows someone wants to listen.
It would be so funny watching Commandante Tequila riding down the street bumping your stuff with that
cool
Joker face.
You think Commandante drives a lowrider?
He be
out in Cali now?
He probably got one that's low on one side.
So it looks like you can find it. I know you just tweeted it out. I just
Spotify,
retweeted it.
Apple Music.
Yep, it's on Spotify.
That new
Instagram title. It's everywhere. You can even use the song in your Instagram post, your TikTok. It's everywhere. Just search Jeff Too Funny, Jeff the number 2 funny, and it's there.
All right. Now, may I ask questions?
What's up?
This fall, maybe we work on getting them posted like every week rather than, because it looks to me like we're dropping all of the 24 season on July 31st of 25.
Yeah, so the reason why I did that, because as I told you before,
issues.
Copyright issues.
Okay.
But then I did it because I wanted to get it around camp, because when everyone's at camp and they first put on pads and everything, that's when everyone get excited. So I want to catch that excitement. So I chose to drop it right now. We're about to go play New England, and people are fired up about football. But
should have had a camp song, Jeff.
Next year, wait on it. I was just about to drop that bomb. We got a song coming the last week of camp, so be ready. And then other than that, just go listen to it. Hey, criticize me. Don't try and criticize me on the timeline. Hop in my DM if you got any ideas for songs or anything I should use. Hop in my DM. I'm open to it.
Yeah, I got some bars for you this year. Yeah,
Jeff's DMs are definitely open.
Yeah.
when will we get the first song? Week one?
Week one, baby.
Okay.
I got something special for that. I'm trying to pull it off, so hopefully it works.
Jeff, a well-documented musician that won't hold the microphone near his face while we're sitting in a tent.
Oh, I thought the microphone was loud enough.
Nah, he was talking, and that microphone was running from that dragon.
all right. So if you want to check out Jeff's songs, check out all his social handles. Best place to find them. Not going to pretend that the Hall of Fame game is awesome football, right? Let's be real.
It's not that good.
That said, I got something intriguing for you to watch, Brian.
What you got?
Do you know who is starting at quarterback for the Chargers?
Trey Lance.
And obviously it hasn't gone well. The Niners drafted him super high.
He's with Dallas.
Now, I'm curious.
You remember when Dallas signed him, everybody talked about, man, Dak should be worried. For what?
People are always in a hurry for the new thing. Sports hipsters that always want to be first on the train, right?
Mm-hmm.
Justin Herbert is obviously the starter in L.A. for the Chargers.
Yeah, yeah.
What does it tell you that Taylor Heineke isn't going to play tonight either and Lance gets the game?
They want to see what Lance can do. I think Taylor's that guy where people know what he can do a little bit and he can come in and do certain things, but – they really want – if they find out they have something with Trey Lance, Taylor might be in trouble. But they don't need to see what Taylor is. They know what Taylor is.
Exactly.
So if they find out Trey can be a little bit more than Taylor, or he can't be, then he makes a decision for him.
So the Chargers drafted Carolina running back Omarion Hampton, Tar Heel, in the first round. Najee Harris got hurt with the fireworks. Remember that from 4th of July? I don't know how much of Hampton we get to see tonight, but I think it could be interesting, even if it's one drive for him. His speed and quickness really stood out on the college level. You wonder if you'll see that tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I still stick by it. You learn how to play football by playing football. And my thing for a college guy coming into a pro-style offense, well, what pro-style offense is today, it's more like college. But a Jim Harbaugh's offense, I think you would want to see him play a little bit. You know, I understand everybody want to put everybody in bubble wrap, but damn, if I got a running back that I'm planning on giving the ball to a lot, I need to see him be able to do something, not just go through preseason and end up playing a quarter. That doesn't get you ready for a season of football.
All right, so White Brian was able to track down some numbers for us. Maybe we'll put some bets in a little later. Omarion Hampton, you could bet this, his yardage total tonight is 18.5. So that leads me to believe they think he's playing one series tops.
Okay.
Starting at quarterback for the Lions tonight, Hendon Hooker.
That Tennessee guy, right?
Tennessee, yeah. I mean, he was really good and then got hurt late in the year. I think he blew out his knee, right? That Tennessee team, remember they beat Bama in that like crazy shootout? That was a good team. There was a lot of excitement about Hooker. I don't know what he's got. Jared Goff is very firmly established, and I don't know how much Hooker and Lance will play, but I'm at least interested enough to watch those two.
Yeah, yeah.
Hall of Fame game, I think, starts probably – you think they wait till 8:30 for that game? I know – here's what I do know. On Channel 4, usually the 6 o'clock news is an hour. Tonight it's only a half hour, which means NFL on NBC is coming on. Football night's coming on at 6:30, which leads me to believe kickoff's at 7:30, right?
Could be.
So you know what? Am I incorrect, Kerwin?
I'll tell you here shortly.
What? Okay, I got it all wrong.
It's at 8 o'clock.
Nightly news with Tom Yamas at 6:30.
8 o'clock is going to be the Chargers and the Lions.
So football night at 7, 8 o'clock kick, which probably means 8:15.
This is 8 here, but we'll see.
Well, let's hope Lauren wasn't listening, because I was going to use the Hall of Fame game to not have to do bedtime. Be like, baby, I got to watch this. Bedtime's kind of 7:30 to 8. Now I might be back in.
Like sometimes I keep
every time you, I think I'm out, they like pull me
the
back
things
in.
I say to you, like, you got to stop saying what you think and just say it off air. Because more than likely, she's listening or somebody that knows her listening.
That's probably true.
And I just texted to her. I'm sorry. No, I'm joking.
We have a little bit of a local tie beyond Heinicke, who won't play. Kyle Allen is backing up Trey Lance. Remember when Ron traded for Kyle Allen and, like, people really thought he was going to be the starter?
Yeah.
He ended up starting some games, but I don't know. And DJ Ugalele, the kid that started at Clemson, ended up in Florida State, was at Oregon State for a minute.
Wasn't that good?
Nope. Big kid, though. Big arm.
Big, but big guy. Like, you know, I know people be telling me, oh, man, he got a gun. Like, Doc said a lot. I tell Doc all the time. But he don't know where the hell it's going. And a guy with a gun that don't know where he shoot that or throw into that, guess what? That's a problem.
Dangerous.
Dangerous as hell.
Tonight will also be the first time we see the new kickoff rules. So the league was happy with the kickoff last year. But I think they do want to see more teams not kick the ball out of the end zone. So they've moved the touchback to the 35 instead of the 30. You know, the 35, the way these dudes, the way the kickers can kick field goals, like the guy.
They get 30 yards.
The
way the field goal.
The way the Cowboys dude is, dude, they get 20 yards. 45 is what, a 60-yarder, 62? If you can get to the 43, those guys, a lot of these guys, that's a field goal opportunity.
Yeah, but I think that's going to be a desperation. You mess around early in the game and go for a 62-yard field goal, you're basically giving them the ball in prime field position. That's going to be something that happens later in the game when you got a guy with a strong leg. But I understand what the league is doing, because I tell you about what Coach Gills would say. If you get, they had stats and percentages of where you get, if you get possession of the ball in the 10, 15, 20, they will tell you the different percentages of getting a score at the end. And from the 20-yard line to the 35-yard line, it's drastic that you get that the scoring opportunity. So this is trying to put that fear into those guys. If I'm a – listen, if my kicker can kick it high, I'm kicking it high, trying to have you catch it inside.
So these guys do.
Inside the four.
Dirty
inside
kicks.
Inside the 0 and the 5-yard line, and I'm going to go down there and make a damn tackle.
The only time it hurt him last year was Turpin. And Turpin is among the best in the league.
And on that play, if the guy coming in at that lane closes, Turpin, when he cuts back, he's now looking like Lala. He'd been looking for some stars in his head.
When they were practicing punts today, it was wild watching Izzo just sprint up and down with the gunners. Mm-hmm. Izzo's high energy, man.
Izzo reminds me a lot of Harbaugh.
I could see that.
Harbaugh used to do the same thing. But I had to warn him, like, Coach, you know, you're not liked by everybody. Stop running down. Somebody going to catch you.
I saw this interview. I want to say it was the PFT, the pardon my take boys, PFT commenter and crew with Harbaugh, where he said he realized to become a head coach, he had to dial back some of the way he coached special teams. Like, he had to carry himself a little bit differently. And that dude, as a head coach, seems to carry himself fairly intensely.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine coaching specials.
But the thing of it is it's weird where a special team coach who deals with everybody on the team
right.
except the starting quarterback has to start coaching eight people to get a job in the NFL. He had to go from a special teams coach to a linebacker coach. That special teams coach had a kick return, punt return, kickoff, punts, field goal block. You know, all those different things. And that shows you a lot of, you know, planning and all that. And you got to go coach seven people, basically, where your D coordinator makes all the schedules. And then they say, oh, yeah, you show me you can be a coach now. That makes no sense to me.
I know that the way they keep messing with the overtime rules drives you crazy. Now, there is a new overtime situation.
We better not deal with none of that in preseason.
I believe the league changed the rule that there is no more overtime in preseason. So there should not be any special overtime rules. Coming up at noon, we're opening these phones. It is a Bleep You Thursday. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. This Snow Patrol landfill? I can go for some snow right now. Hot as hell out here. Coming up in about 14 minutes, we're going to open these phone lines up. It is a Bleep You Thursday. Whatever you're mad at, whoever you're mad at, inanimate objects to, you know, people to give out parking tickets, whatever it is, you can call us. Maybe you're upset with Terry McLaurin not getting a contract. You can say that too. Phone lines will be open, 800-636-1067. A couple things I wanted to touch on real quick, B. Obviously, a ton of news going around Major League Baseball. Trade deadline, and the Padres just stay aggressive, dude. The Padres just sent the number 3 overall prospect in baseball to get Mason Miller from wherever the hell the Athletics play nowadays. Can we just start calling them the Vegas A's? Because what are they current? You know, on MLB.com, they're just called the Athletics. They don't even have like
a
city.
I just call them A's.
Yeah. The A's, I mean, watching that All-Star game, like, there's some talent there. I think you'd like to think their owner would start spending when they get to Vegas, but if it's the same dude, I kind of feel like he won't. Maybe his plan is to get him to Vegas, get that valuation up, get the stadium cooking,
sell. Well, why build a new stadium going to sell?
He ain't paying for it. Yeah, Vegas is paying for it.
He gets the valuation.
If he gets them into a new stadium and their revenues jump because of the new stadium, then he's selling on that and makes that. You know what I mean? Like, the valuation will jump. Yeah,
one of those casinos might say, we'll buy it.
Dude, Bees will buy it. Bees and Pete should own a baseball team. That'd be something. I know who I'd work for then. You and I could run content for baseball. Be an S show.
That'd be great.
We'd handle it, man, one way or another. So this trade that the Padres just pulled off is a big one. J.P. Sears, also part of the deal. Leo DeVries is the huge name. There's other names in there. The Mariners acquired Suarez from Arizona. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Suarez already has, I think, 35, 36 home runs. I mean, that's a real power hitter
for
you.
That's hitting it.
The Nats have been active, but not that active.
Not super active.
You think they're going to trade Gore?
Mark said the other day, if someone called and make a ridiculous offer, yes, but they're not. If it's not a ridiculous offer.
Now, Houston's obviously a really good team and has been for a while, but Gore also got kind of knocked around yesterday. You think possibly that was on his mind, or you think he just got knocked around?
It's possible it was on his mind. You know, it could be on his mind and he could have pitched well, or he could have just had an off day.
So
it happens.
We're keeping our eyes out for MLB trade deadline. Padres are not scared to make big moves. They did it a couple years ago with Soto. Mm-hmm. Did it today to get a closer. But I wanted to make sure we have time for this, and I think time might get precious here in a bit, B. Did you hear about this Gilbert Arenas stuff?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know what to make of it, right?
You read the story. The story tell you – all you can do is just tell exactly what the story say.
So, I'm reading –
run the gambling ring.
From ESPN.com now. Gilbert Arenas was arrested Wednesday in connection with a federal indictment that alleges the former NBA star hosted illegal high-stakes poker games at his mansion in California. Arenas is officially charged with one count of conspiracy to operate an illegal gambling business, one count of operating an illegal gambling business. Isn't that the same thing? I guess operate.
And the attempt to operate, and then when you operate, you can do all of it.
And one count of making false statements to federal investigators. I don't know much, but I know that the feds probably don't like it when you lie to them.
Well, when they ask you a question, they already know the answer.
Right. According to the indictment, Arenas rented out his house, and one of his associates staged the mansion for the poker games, recruited co-conspirators to host, and collected rent from the co-conspirators on Arenas' behalf. Mm. So I don't know that you're going to agree with me on this. Obviously, there's a tax problem here because you're probably talking massive amounts of cash.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, shouldn't somebody be allowed to play poker in their own home?
JP, you ask some questions sometimes because you try to not know the truth. There's a lot of things people gambling in their house right now and they're gambling money. That's illegal as hell. Just don't get caught when it happens. I just tell people all the time, you can do it. But once it hit a certain amount of dollars, it's illegal. And if you were dealing, first of all, you're dealing with crime bosses from Israel.
Yeah, the company you
might
want
to know who you're dealing with for a little bit. You don't think they probably were being watched?
I did see some pictures.
You rent a house. If you rent a house just to gamble in it, you know something going on that ain't really on the up and up. Because if it was legal, guess what you could do? You could do it in the public. Like a lot of these clubs and bars that you go to the back room, you think that's legal? Nah.
I saw some pictures on the internet yesterday. It looks like the tables they were playing on, the poker tables.
Mm-hmm.
You know how, like, it's the nice felt tables, and usually in the middle it says the name of the casino.
Yeah.
Like MGM, Tropicana, whatever. I don't even know Tropicana.
It's Asian Zero?
It says Arenas Poker Tour, Arenas Poker Club, with a picture of Gil with his hands up, how he walked away after he made
one. And then let's think about it. When you have certain level of clientele and the buy-ins are a certain amount of dollar, the house is taking money off the top.
Yeah, the rate.
They have security. They have valet. They have waiters and waitresses. And you're taking a little money from them as well. You think all that is just legal? When there's no IRS stuff involved.
And there's probably the opportunity for that to grow pretty dangerous. Because everything's cash, right? Like, I don't think you get to come to the Gilbert Arenas illegal poker tournament and use Venmo. You know what I mean? Like, I imagine it's cash at the door.
Mm-hmm.
When
I saw it, I was like, not again. Because, like, it gets to a point where you gotta stop. You can't keep making excuses.
For Gil, you're saying?
Yeah.
When I first heard it, I was on the radio with Linnell yesterday. And we got done with the hit. And he's like, JP, let me ask you something for your first thoughts. And he read the headline. Gilbert Arenas arrested with Israeli crime boss in high-end poker tournament. And he's like, JP, what do you think? And I was like, man, I do not know. I have no thoughts on that. Let me at least read an article. Because it just sounds so outrageous. And yet with Gil, I was like, kind of tracks. Like, I wasn't necessarily shocked.
Yeah. That's understandable.
That dude has always flown a little close to the sun. Did you see his son? Like Gil's actual son, I believe, was a star recruit. Maybe USC, maybe Arizona. I can't remember where. And I think he blew out his knee, so I hate that.
But yeah, accident or something. Didn't he have a car accident or something like that?
I don't know. But
yeah, I thought it was a car accident. He was in the hospital. Then he got out of it. Because at first I thought he was in a coma.
I don't know. I hope he's okay, obviously. Yeah. You know, one thing with Gill is you hope – I don't know. He got a little bit of work, maybe ESPN. I'm not sure what the outlet was.
He had his podcast, and he was doing some other stuff, too. And I just, you know, bro.
Well, it's like – this is obviously different, but with the gambling now, there's the at least discussion of the Guardians pitcher maybe trying to throw games. And then you see the video of the first pitches he was throwing and how god-awful they were, and he was really good. And, like
– hey, bro, I'm telling you, that money, that gambling money – It's like addicting, man. It's contagious. It's addicting.
Sure.
And once you get a little bit, like, you know, how about the dude in the NBA? And let's be real, all of these owners are in bed with the people. You think the players, like, damn it, y'all making money off of me? Why can't I make money?
Well, and
that's what they gotta be worried about.
People are like, oh, they make so much money. Everybody. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people, regardless of their line of work, you might be a construction worker, you might be an accountant, you might be a politician. People generally love a little side hustle.
They love it because, like, the thing of it, a lot of it is just like the high-risk stocks.
Yeah.
Where people only hear one side.
Penny stocks
and
stuff.
You can make this. They never tell you what you can lose. And it's just like the drug trade and the gambling trade. You always think about what you can get if everything works out. No one ever thinks about what could go wrong if things don't work out right. You know what I mean? And that's why you have so many people taking that chance. I don't know. If you talk to some psychiatrists, they can probably tell you what the word is. But people will take that risk for that possibility of, oh, this stock can pay you 90%. You can also lose 100%.
Right. People are always always looking for get rich quick.
You can make the money over here with this deal, but you also can be killed.
I'm almost done with this Alexander Hamilton book, and he created first the Bank of New York and then the Bank of America, right? That became the National Bank. And with both of those things, there was incredible speculation and it wasn't quite the stock market yet, but there was a crash afterwards, right? And people think about that. Do you know what the first market crash was? At least in my knowledge, one of the first, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I read about this. Tulip mania. In the 1630s, in Holland, in the Netherlands, people went crazy over tulip prices.
Bruh.
And it went crazy, and people bought up the tulips, and then it crashed.
Greed did not get to start last week.
Nah, man.
Greed started in the beginning of time. Hell, we hear the story about it. You know, we go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Somebody wanted something.
Somebody had to try that apple.
It was supposed to be kind of like not, you're not supposed to touch it. They wanted it. And then all of a sudden, we all think the same way, don't we?
You know what else greed didn't start recently? Being mad at stuff didn't start recently.
Mm-hmm.
And once a week, we come together as a people in fellowship to get stuff off our chest. Whoever has wronged you, whatever has made you mad, now's your chance. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. It is Bleep You Thursday, people.